The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
KC making us believers again, knocking off Dallas, getting hot at just the right time. Winners of four straight. Major props to this defense of the Cowboys' high-powered offense to just three field goals. And KC's D is now top five in opponents QBR, points per game, and rush yards allowed. Dak Prescott throwing two picks Sunday and Mahomes one pick. Both quarterbacks had no TDs. We were already believers in Dallas, but now that they've lost two of their last three, are we losing confidence? RC with us. Good to see you, sir.
Yeah. Molly.
Yeah. Southern Steve? You knew it was coming. Here, here's your hat. Get into character.
I don't need the hat.
Okay.
I don't need the hat. I'm good.
Why you got on Cowboys colors then?
Excuse me?
Why you got on that blue?
It looks great in
which
that blue,
Which way does
too.
This
it looks
go?
Great in that blue.
I have matters to deal with after the show.
Oh, okay.
Blue is appropriate.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Herb, I'm coming to you.
You worked that way. Nice. That is nice.
I mean, this does look,
cowgirl.
My outfit is kind of cowgirl.
Yeah. Little Yellowstone.
Unintentionally.
cowboy hat with the tablecloth suit. Not bad, Mom.
I just want to say one thing.
He has clowned my wardrobe like five straight days, but guess who's going to call me when it's time for Christmas shopping? Like, hey, can you help me out? I'm trying to get some gifts.
I already did call. She's absolutely true. She's absolutely right,
Molly. He's just a hater to the bone.
I'm not hating you. I gave you love. Come on now.
But Loki,
I'm going to call Molly Wood. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
In all honesty. Because I know this is hard for you.
Yes.
And I know it's hard to take me seriously with this outfit on. But who do you trust to go further? Because the Chiefs' defense looked really darn good. Is it Dallas or is it the Chiefs?
And I'm going to answer the question then get into it. I'm still trusting Dallas to go farther. And now let me get into why I say this when you talk about the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs won that game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Won that game yesterday. Took those first three drives, drove right down the field and got some points. But then Dallas defense stiffened.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get a chance to make many more drives. I look at Dallas's defense and I say, okay, Dallas defense is one thing. Then I look at in the AFC, you got to go, we talk Bill Belichick, you got to go through a Bill Belichick's defense. And that's going to be a tougher, stiffer task for them. So I say Dallas still has the chance. Because even in the NFC, we talked about all the teams that are still, they all got something wrong with all of them. And Dallas showed a little bump yesterday, but so did Green Bay. So is Tampa Bay. So now they got time to get it right. And I say Dallas will still get it right when they get all of those other players back. We got three or four all-pro players sitting on the sideline. We got talent waiting in the wings. We got help. Coming.
Help is on the way.
And we need that help that's coming.
First of all, did you say they could go far? Because you didn't say anything definitive. Did you hear anything definitive?
What do you mean that's definitive?
He said Dallas will go far. And Ryan Clark, before you jump on his bandwagon, are you sure they're going to be available? I remind you. Look, we're happy that Randy Gregory is out
because of a
football injury. Right? We know Lael Collins.
We know it's football.
Lael Collins. trying to bribe death testicles. I mean, you just can't make it up, y'all. And they don't let you down.
Why do you think they are hard knocks all the time?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they just don't. You can't make it up. They don't let me down. Of course, it's the Chiefs. I ain't even got the Cowboys winning the playoff game. I got them going home early. Let me tell you something right now. First of all, if the playoffs were to begin today, who would be the number one seed in the NFC? Wouldn't that be Arizona?
Yep.
All right? So that means they're the only one that get a bye, right? Mm-hmm. That means that the first game that the Dallas Cowboys would play in the playoffs would more than likely be who? Would it be the Rams? Would it be Green Bay? I mean, would it be Tampa Bay? We don't know. It's going to be one of those teams, is what I'm saying.
It's going to be one of the wild card teams. So they're going to win the division.
Who?
Right.
The Cowboys. Dallas.
Okay, they're going to win it. All right, who are we talking about then? Because the Rams would be a wild card team. Packers probably not. Okay.
All right.
So we talking the Rams.
I just told the Eagles to get in there.
Maybe the Eagles. Okay, I give it to you. They'd have a chance against one of those teams. All right. But I'm thinking they're going to run in to maybe the Rams. That's what I'm – when I say they ain't winning a playoff game, I'm not talking about them playing some team that's lucky to get up in there. Yeah. I'm talking about them working against one of those teams because they ain't going to get the first round bye. That's what I'm saying. Having said all of that, I'm rolling with the Chiefs with an easier path because I think that the AFC is more haphazard than the NFC. I understand the Packers lost yesterday. I understand Arizona, which you predicted. They ended up, you know, they won yesterday. All right, Minnesota's there. I can't rule out Minnesota. They could be in the mix as well. But I'm just saying when you look at the AFC, Tennessee, we don't know. We hope.
Who were the Chiefs? Buffalo?
Wait a minute.
Who's already beaten?
No, we hope, but we don't know if Derrick Henry's going to be back.
Tennessee, who's already beaten?
With Lamar Jackson, hell, is he going to be healthy? I mean, to see a guy that seems to get sick every 3 weeks.
Who's already beaten?
For crying out loud. So you got that Buffalo. We already talked about Josh Allen. Okay, I got to give it to you about the New England Patriots. I stand down. So all I'm saying is when I look at the AFC, the only team that I look at definitively holding Kansas City back potentially is New England.
Michael, I have something on my mind.
But the top teams have already beat Kansas City.
Go ahead, Monica.
I'm just talking about
real quick, because this is really on my mind, because I'm concerned about Dallas fans. Didn't you come on this show and say they should buy non-refundable tickets?
Yeah, it's still good. It's still good. This is all part of the process.
Don't do that to them.
Listen, the road to a Super Bowl is never paid smoothly. It's paid with peaks and valleys.
Super Bowl tickets are very expensive. It's very expensive to go to the city of Los Angeles, so I just want to make sure
I support them spending their money.
Yeah, maybe they should just stay in Arizona and drive up.
No, don't tell that. I want the Dallas Cowboy fans to buy their tickets right now, non-refundable. I want them to lose their money.
Come on, man.
Give me who you think. Lose the money.
Mike, you know, I want to be on your side. Like I am.
Don't go come out here with that, Ryan.
Like I am a ton of times on this show. But it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ryan, they already lost to all the top teams.
Can he speak? We heard you. Can he speak?
And now, I think in the end, when the Cowboys are healthy, they are a better team than the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what scared me. As a collective unit, right? As a collective unit under Mike McCarthy, this is the first big-time game the Dallas Cowboys have played. And I love Dak Prescott. I had Dak Prescott in my top three for the MVP. Last week, they asked him, was this a measuring stick? And very cool and calm, as Dak has been the whole season, he was like, nah, not for me. You know, for the team, we got to go out and win. And I felt like the team played with that energy, Mike.
Right.
Playmaker, the way you come on here. And you got the energy and you're fired up, that wasn't what this team was. When you look at this game yesterday, Patrick Mahomes throws an interception that's not his fault, right? Travis Kelce misses it. J'Ron Kearse is returning. The first person to come into the screen is Patrick Mahomes, right? The best football player at his position tries to make a play. Pringle sprints down and makes the tackle. Go back to the start of the game. Dak Prescott misses a hit and go. That should have been a touchdown. Sack fumble on third down. The Kansas City Chiefs get the football. They take the runs. They take the short passes. They run the reverse. They were the team that understood the moment. They were a team that prepared the week like they had something to prove. And so when I think about that, now I think to the playoffs, what Stephen A. is talking about. I think about, okay, the Dallas Cowboys believe they have already arrived. If Dak Prescott believes this offense has already arrived, what does it look like when you're playing the Rams? What does it look like when you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles who might be hungrier? And so the same way we watched them rebound against Denver, we have to see them do the same thing by Thursday night. But Kansas City showed me championship pedigree.
And that's the thing that Dallas did not see. And that's why I keep saying this is a process. Now that you have to see what it means to other people since we are going up against other human beings.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to match that intensity. And they didn't yesterday. I love that you pulled that out because Dak sends the message to the rest of the team.
Yes.
And I would have loved him to say, every week is a measuring stick.
That's different.
Every time, every play we step on the football field, we must take it as a measuring stick so they can come in there more prepared than they were because they just were not prepared.
They were flat.
But that's part of the process.
Here's the part that you're missing, Brian Clark. You see, what's going on with Michael Irvin is that Michael Irvin is trying to convince the Cowboys to see the light, mm-hmm. to see the error of their ways and deficiencies, to get them.
You're
right
trying to preach them.
You think I'm coaching from here? You think I'm coaching from the desk?
Let me finish. Yes, that's exactly what you're doing.
they don't always preach from the podium, Playmaker.
Here's my point.
Your life
from
the pulpit.
Here's my point. He did it week one.
Okay.
He did it a couple of weeks ago.
With Denver?
He's doing it now. You see, because he knows what you and I know, what Dallas Cowboy fans fear. Every time I say, just wait, they won't let you down. Everybody is scared. That's why everybody go like that damn Stephen A, because they nervous. Because they know this team finds a way to mess up. Amari Cooper, he started off the show going ballistic about Amari Cooper. He talked about Wilson getting $2 million. He talked about whomever getting $1 million.
Noah Brown getting $1 million.
That's right, $1 million. He said, Amari Cooper's making $21 million.
Right.
And he ain't available for COVID. All I'm trying to say to you is this. Tell me what the Dallas Cowboys don't come up with to get in their own way. Nothing.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Guess what? We got a short week. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be talking about this much longer because we got to get ready for the Raiders. Thursday, the Cowboys play.
They play the Raiders?
Yeah.
Oh, Raiders. Okay.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Kirk Cousins and the Vikes pulled up the upset against Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. Kirk Cousins teeing up the walk-off field goal by Greg Joseph en route to a 34-31 victory. Not many predicted this outcome, but one person saw this coming.
I believe the Minnesota Vikings are going to win this game. I believe when you look at the trio of skill players the Minnesota Vikings have in the Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook, I don't know if there's a better trio in the league. And I know sometimes we don't want to give Kirk Cousins his flowers. We don't want to say that he's a good quarterback, but he is a good quarterback. They've been up in every game this year. The only team that's been up in every game this year by a touchdown, they just lost some at the end. This time they find a way to pull it out, and they beat the Packers.
Did you pick the bad man?
No, I picked the bad man, number one. So you were right. I was wrong. I asked the folks here at ESPN. I told them to order some cookies and milk because clearly you want to be celebrated. So
I do want to be celebrated. You know what I want more than anything?
What?
I want you to treat me, right? I want you to have the same energy with me when you're apologizing, when you're saying that I was right, that you have when you're right. I want you to scream.
I want you to scream
and be like, "You right, RC." I want all that Stephen A. energy, like all the reasons why First Take. Did you say what First Take is your world? All the things that make First Take your world, right? Like all the ways you act when you do a Stephen A's list. I want all that type of energy when you saying I'm right about picking Kirk Cousins against the bad man.
Well, first of all,
don't level it down, Stephen A.
Well, first of all, you gotta pick your spots. I mean, there are times that if you operate at one speed. And you don't fluctuate, then you know what? You end up exhausting yourself. So you gotta be careful. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two and more important.
So you sandbag. So you don't go all out at all times.
There are times I always give you your props, but there are times that I give you your props in a more vociferous and loquacious fashion than at other times. Number two, number three, it would help if you didn't have Michael Irvin sitting next to you and Molly would across from you, nodding. Yeah. Yes, you're
Molly's
right.
Molly's the host
you're
of the
right.
show.
You're
I was
right.
getting yes. directions yes. from the producer. I was worried about the debate.
Let me tell you something right now. You didn't ask for those clips. Molly was in the meeting going like this. Get the clip of Ryan when he said he was right.
You know
because
why?
We need to play
because
that.
She understands good TV, Stephen A. Because she's about good TV. She's not about making Molly look good. Right. She's about making the show look
Molly
good.
Doesn't
she's
have,
not selfish.
Molly doesn't have to make herself look good. It's natural. Number two, when it comes to the show,
That's
let's not get this twisted. I do share the wealth.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not
what
like
is even
y'all are not
right
here on the show.
This
with
is about
me.
I couldn't do it without y'all.
I couldn't do it without y'all. Is that good? Is that good? I couldn't do it without you. I couldn't do it without you with a damn clip on your, with a damn paper clip on your mouth. I couldn't do it without you, Ron. I couldn't do it without you. Let's go.
That was a very backhanded compliment.
That's what he does.
It's a paper clip.
It was good to calling that out.
Let me ask you this, since you were the one that picked, do you trust Kirk Cousins to go on a run?
Hell no.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna sit up here and lie. You know, actually, I wanted to gloat a lot earlier on Twitter yesterday, but I was scared as hell. And you look at what the Darnell Savage, what should have been interception, was a force.
Twice!
Rasul Douglas had an opportunity on the sideline. He breaks on the football, it goes through his hands. Yep. Adam Thielen is able to catch it. And that's the thing that worries me. For 3.5 quarters, Kirk Cousins is one of the better quarterbacks in this league. He's a top half quarterback. But then he makes those mistakes late in games. And the Minnesota Vikings have been leading in every game this season. They're the only team that can say that, and you lose games late because you don't execute. And so when I think about what this team is with Adam Thielen, with Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, this should be a team with a much better record. The reason they don't have it, I believe, is the inability to execute late in games, and Kirk Cousins is a large part of that.
21 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. You talk about that bad man, Kirk Cousins. He's tied with that bad man. 7 games with multiple TD passes and 0 interceptions. Tied with that bad man. So for Minnesota, and getting Kirk Cousins to play this way where he's protecting the ball, that's huge. That puts Minnesota back in the race for an opportunity to try to do something. I think that's big, and I think Minnesota's definitely ready.
I'm not knocking anything about the Minnesota Vikings, because I know from a skilled perspective, they can make some noise.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They can make some noise. My issue is this game told me more about the Packers. How come you couldn't get a stop? We know what's in the NFC. We know who you're going to have to go up against. We know how formidable Dallas and you know, L.A. and Arizona and Tampa Bay are. You know what you're going to have to do. Think about this. As we sit here and reflect on the Green Bay Packers, all of us believe, regardless of what he was incapable of doing the first 3 downs, you, Matt LaFleur, you don't take the damn ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands on a 4th down with Tom Brady on the other sideline.
NFC Championship game.
Yeah, right. And all you're going to need is a 1st down or 2 to seal the deal. You let Aaron Rodgers, even from the 8-yard line, take his chances and make something happen. My point is, we all look at the Green Bay Packers and believe, from an offensive standpoint, with the weapons that Aaron Rodgers has available to him, they'll have something to say and they can get it done. The question about the team is the defense. And when you have a situation, albeit on the road, you're going up against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, and you can't stop them when it can't. You can't get a stop. I'm sorry. I'm going to hold that against you. And that's what I'm thinking about when I think about the Green Bay Packers. Yes, their defense has looked pretty good over the last several weeks.
Right.
But yesterday, when you needed to get a stop, you couldn't do it.
Yeah, the reason I picked this team, and me and Playmaker were talking about it in the break, like, Justin Jefferson is a true number one wide receiver. And Adam Thielen is thought of highly as well in much of the same thing. He's just a different dude. And Dalvin Cook is a top-tier running back. And so when you think about the Green Bay Packers, they just haven't faced this. The Green Bay Packers, like, you go Arizona, right? Honestly, if A.J. Green doesn't block, Arizona wins that game. Mm-hmm. Right? Arizona has an it's just period. They win that game. Patrick Mahomes was awful against the Green Bay Packers. And we saw what Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks looked like yesterday against the Arizona Cardinals and Colt McCoy. And so I just think that this was a very tough matchup.
Right.
If you get Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander back down the road, that you can't get stops when you need it. And think about it. If Darnell Savage holds the football when he hits the ground, the Green Bay Packers win because they were not stopping Aaron Rodgers. And so this doesn't make me think that the Packers can't compete or the Packers won't contend. But what it does make you think that if they execute late, the Minnesota Vikings are a team you don't want to see down the road.
And
the
only reason I say
you trust Kirk Cousins a little bit more here, and this is what we were also talking about, was that combination of Jefferson and Thielen is difficult, more difficult than the combination of Diggs and Thielen.
So you think they're better?
It's better.
That's what Dan would say.
It's better because because Jefferson can play inside and out. Yeah. And what they were doing yesterday, they were switching up those option routes.
Yeah.
You know, and Thielen's great at those option routes, but so is Jefferson. And it was impossible for Green Bay to stop. It was impossible.
Well, see, that's a problem for me, because if I'm looking at Green Bay as a title contender, I don't want to hear something is impossible for them to stop.
Right, so you're looking at Arizona with D-Hop and AJ.
Right. Then they got to come back
Brown,
and match.
Gronk's coming back. Evans, Godwin, all of that. Right. I'm looking at that. I don't want to hear it's impossible to stop.
But you better figure it out. That's why then they gonna have to, they will have to match it on their offense. And Aaron Jones will give them a chance to at least help them match it on their offense.
Packers host the Rams on Sunday. We'll learn a lot. Got to keep it rolling here, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
King James tossed out of a game last night after striking Detroit big man Isaiah Stewart in the face while going for a rebound. The ejection was only LeBron's second in his 19-year playing career. After the game, his teammates did come to his defense, especially AD. RC, I want to start with you here, if I can get on this chair. All right, so earlier when we had this conversation, Stephen A. said he felt like Stewart deserved the stiffer punishment because he re-instigated it, like running back out again after the incident was over. Yeah. And then Jay Will was sitting in your chair in the playmaker, and they said, no, it's LeBron, because that was intentional, and he's the veteran. And he's the face of the league.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you on this?
I think LeBron looks worse in this situation. And don't get me wrong, you know, I get it. Isaiah Stewart is chasing after him, and he's running after people. He ain't hurt nobody. Right? Like he didn't put his hands on LeBron. I think a lot of it is you're upset because you see the blood dripping, and you know LeBron James did that on purpose. I don't believe the intent was on purpose, but he purposely swung his arm and elbow at Isaiah Stewart. And so
but I don't understand that.
I don't believe the result, right?
I just want to be clear,
when you make that decision, this is possible. Now, if Isaiah Stewart, because he's right next to LeBron, one, basketball players, they ain't really trying to fight anybody. He ain't trying to fight. He's acting, right? He's upset, and he wants to run after people. He wants to do all that. He got close to DeAndre Jordan, and he stopped, and he let people grab him. Isaiah Stewart was just mad. But what LeBron James did, he did on purpose. What LeBron James did, he has to he understands that he can't do because he's never done it. And what's going to happen is we're going to look at LeBron James's his behavior as a man, his behavior as a player, as being just a stellar pillar of what the NBA should be. And you're going to look at it as whole, like, okay, we don't might necessarily have to punish him for this one act. Mm-hmm. But this one act is all that counts right now. And if you're the NBA, you have to send a message to the rest of the world that we aren't going to treat LeBron James any different in this case because he's LeBron James.
A couple of things. Number one, Byron Spruill. I believe he's the president of league operations for the NBA. Kiki Vandeweghe used to handle the disciplinary matters. He departed in July.
Mm-hmm.
There's no replacement for him. There needs to be a replacement for him because we need basketball people making these kind of decisions. I think that's important, that people that can bring context to what transpired. Having said all of that, I don't disagree with the words you said about LeBron James. I don't believe the ramifications that came from it, like, for example, the blood and all that. I don't think he intended
anything like that.
But clearly he threw the elbow intentionally. I do understand people that sit up there and say, you know what if you got an elbow to your face? I get all of that, right? But here's the reality of the situation. Optics matter.
Okay.
I hit you with an elbow, okay? Regardless of what we want to think, those kind of things do happen from time to time in the sport of basketball. What Isaiah Stewart did does not. That doesn't happen often. When you bulldoze over numerous teammates and coaches, mm-hmm. I mean, you saw bodies actually flying trying to help. Now, you could say he wasn't trying to do anything, and that's fine. Right. But I'm talking about what he actually did. Right. What he actually did was bulldoze over assistant coaches, bulldoze over numerous players, okay? They had to get security. They had to get law enforcement officials involved. They had to do all of this other stuff because you were completely out of control. What I'm saying is, based off of things that have happened in the NBA in the past, and we're not trying to compare this to the Malice in the Palace, but based off of those things optically, that is what the league is primarily concerned over. Now, they have to penalize LeBron because he was the instigator.
Right.
He definitely should be suspended.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, what was worse optically was the display that Isaiah Stewart put on. So, and when you have people, because we got people, you know,
So you think that optically is worse than Jokic Morris. That optically is worse than Gobert, and I forget who it was, getting tangled up early on in the season. That optic to me of Isaiah Stewart, the worst optic is him with blood streaming down his face as compared to chasing after people.
And I'm telling you, the league.
For the league, I believe the
league would respectfully disagree with you.
Because
the league is looking the league is looking at advertisers.
Yeah.
They're looking at sponsors. And more importantly, they're looking at their ability. They know that those folks are looking at their ability to control a situation.
So everybody stay in their seats and all of that. That's the worst.
Sponsors, you're talking about LeBron James, the face of the league, and a 20-year-old kid. Yeah. But so,
I really want to ask this question. So you're saying in that situation, Isaiah Stewart has to protect the league by getting hit by LeBron, by bleeding, just grabbing a towel and walking off.
I'm saying to you that in that particular situation, if Isaiah Stewart had immediately reacted and attacked LeBron James, that's an entirely different look than him bulldozing over numerous teammates and coaches and having to be restrained by 15 different people. See, if he reacted, if LeBron James had elbowed him, went right at LeBron, that's different. That's you and LeBron, and LeBron instigated it.
Right.
What I'm saying is when all of those other people get involved and it takes that amount of stuff to restrain you, that is what the league is going to look at.
Maybe it took his neck to see all the blood in his face and all that to see how banged up he was. Maybe it took his neck.
I'm pretty sure, too, though. I'm pretty sure as being that young man, you realize who you're walking up to.
Right.
You know that's LeBron.
But also, too, though, also, you got to walk back in the locker room. And you saw when AD, what he said, we're going to protect ours. There's some egos and some codes that are involved in all of this, too. We will protect ours.
He's supposed to.
Right. And yes, you do. Yes, you do. But in this situation, that what we're talking about is exciting something, making it bigger than even this right here. That's the league's number one worry right there. That's why they're making an announcement. Everybody stay in your seats.
Everybody.
As he's going crazy, running wild. That's why you are saying what you are saying, because when he's running wild like that, that excites everybody else. And now we can have another situation that nobody wants
to
happen.
And to bring your point, and to get back to your point, RC, if that had happened to you, you going straight for LeBron.
100%.
Right. What you're not doing is waiting, and then all of a sudden you're shoving bodies all over the place, including older men in their 50s and Lord knows how long, knocking everybody over, having to be restrained by 15 people. What I'm saying to people out there is this. I'm not knocking Isaiah Stewart. I don't know the kid. Good kid. Bright future. Wish him nothing but the best. This shouldn't, you know, he shouldn't be castigated for this. But in that moment, when it takes all of that, that is a worse look for the league than LeBron James simply hitting you with that elbow. Right.
But it's easier for us to talk about it here than us getting hit in
the
mouth.
That's true.
Because you hit me in the mouth in front of
But you would have went at him.
Yeah. Right.
You wouldn't have went over.
Right.
Neither one of y'all would have knocked over 15 people to get to him.
So
that's the point.
Once it's broken up and we're done, be done.
That's right.
I can see that.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Let's get you caught up on some AFC action from Sunday. We start in Nashville, where the Texans' win marks the latest into the season that the team with the outright worst record in a conference has beaten the outright best team since the merger in 1970. Meanwhile, Jonathan Taylor ran all over the Bills' defense. My goodness, becoming the third youngest player with a 5-TD game in NFL history. Buffalo's loss coupled with New England's win on Thursday night vaults New England into first place in the AFC East. And the Chiefs picked up their fourth straight win in a low-scoring affair against the Cowboys, keeping the league's top-scoring offense out of the end zone. After a slow start to the season, KC heads into their bye week, one game out of the top spot in the conference. The Hall of Famer playmaker Michael Irvin, I will start with you. Are the Chiefs, Michael, now the team to beat in the AFC?
The Chiefs have all the parts. We know that. Physically, we know they have the talent. We know the execution, they've had some issues with the execution because they didn't want to play small ball, and now they are playing small ball, right? So for me, the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC. Now, we've talked about these teams in the AFC. Each team has an issue in the AFC. The Chiefs are the team that has already been there. Sooner or later, when we get through it, we're going to talk about this. The experience in the playoffs. The experience in the playoffs when those pressure moments come to it. We talked about Dallas folded in that pressure moment, and the Kansas City Chiefs did not yesterday, and they will not as they get ready to go towards the playoffs. So right now for me, absolutely, that's the team in the AFC to beat. Right now the Chiefs have reclaimed that crown.
First of all, I don't understand why Travis Kelce and all of those guys are jumping around with Eric Bieniemy. Travis Kelce, my brother from another mother, as far as I'm concerned, the best tight end in football. Tyreek Hill is a star. Right. Eric Bieniemy should have gotten a head coaching job a long time ago. I'm sad for him that he hasn't. But what the hell are you jumping around for? You scored 19 points. I mean, you didn't. You know, I mean, your offense wasn't anything to write home about. I'm sorry, I didn't see anything.
But they had a spurt.
I'm just saying a little spurt there, but I didn't see anything to write home about. You know, how a couple of trip plays, Tyreek Hill got loose early. We get all of that. You jumped out to a 16-3 lead. I understand, but what I'm saying is that we've seen this Chiefs offense be significantly more potent. That was not the case yesterday. Is number one. Number two, I'm gonna go. I've completely shifted to the New England Patriots because of Bill Belichick and because of that defense. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. When we talk about winning come playoff time, as great as Michael Irvin was playing with Troy Aikman and the crew, how'd y'all win games? Defense and running that damn football with Emmitt Smith. You run the football. He set up a lot of things. The New England Patriots can run with the football, and the New England Patriots have a defense that is opportunistic, experienced, rife with veterans, incredibly familiar with the things that Bill Belichick wants done and how he wants it done. And I will remind everybody that they weren't there last year. Eight to nine different guys didn't show up because of COVID.
Yeah.
So the New England Patriots still ended up winning seven games with half their defense going, more than half of their defense going last year. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do now? Now here you are with a rookie quarterback in first place in the division. And when you think about Patrick Mahomes, even though he's had some success against the New England Patriots, who arguably has given him the most headaches? Bill Belichick. When we saw the Dallas Cowboys this year, and we saw that New England wasn't necessarily really, really ready, and Mac Jones was still young.
Yeah.
You know, some of the receivers, the Aguilars of the world and others and Bournes of the world and others didn't really get their bearings under them in New England. They still gave the Cowboys a run for their money. We exited from that game marveling at the greatness of Bill Belichick and the things that he's able to figure out when you give him time. All I'm saying is I'm looking at New England,
And it's a byproduct of the inconsistency of the rest of
okay.
the AFC.
Okay, okay, time out. Hold on, hold on. Michael Irvin. You picked the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm just wondering, when you were hanging out with Bill Belichick the right. other tell day on Thursday Night Football, did you tell him? Did you tell Bill? There you are, Bill. Were you like, Bill, here now, it's the Chiefs, Bill. You're going on a run. That's cute, but it's the Chiefs.
And I told Bill, yeah, I said, listen, the only reason I'm going to have to pick the Chiefs over you guys because I just haven't seen Mac in an uncomfortable situation. Your defense has been so great. Now, I got to give it to Patrick Mahomes because he's been in uncomfortable situations and has come back before. We watched that in one playoff run when they came back to, double digits down in all three games. They came back and went to the Super Bowl. I need to see Mac Jones do some of that. You're talking about offensively. You talk about Patrick Mahomes. They scored 40 points a week before.
Michael Irvin.
They only scored.
That's not answering the question.
But when I say the spurt, let me tell you the spurt on that offense. They score 40 points, then they come out against Dallas. The first three drives, they go and score. So offensively, they're figuring like they're getting their groove back. And then that defense shows up for the Chiefs. So the Chiefs have an opportunity. Why are you dancing?
Because that's what you did when I showed up in Dallas, when you showed up on the show and you were dancing, right? And I'm saying you're dancing now because Molly asked you.
Right.
She said, did you tell Bill Belichick
I told
that?
Bill.
I saw you doing
no,
a lot of
talk.
I saw him walking and listening to you. I didn't see you
get
saying
it.
You were talking.
You
tell him that.
I said, man, your defense is great. Yeah. I need to see Mac in a difficult situation. I said, you're the best. You got all these guys playing.
He was in a difficult situation. Tom Brady came to town. It was like a Super Bowl.
Tell Bill Belichick. Outside of him.
Did you tell Bill Belichick?
On the football field, I need to see him come back.
Did you tell when Bill Belichick, we got to go. You started off the show talking about how Bill Belichick felt snubbed by people. Listen, he felt snubbed by people. Did you tell him, yo, I got you. Did you tell him that?
I told Bill,
I'm going to build this Chief thing up.
All right.
And then when you beat the Chief, then there will be no doubt. I'll give you all your credit. That's how I told
Bill. You didn't tell him that. Lie.
Let's say, Michael, let's go. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Meanwhile, in the NFL, the Seahawks not in a good place after a loss to the Cardinals and their backup quarterback, Colt McCoy. Pete Carroll more frustrated than he's ever been in 11 and a half seasons in Seattle. He admitted as such after cutting his news conference short before returning later to answer more questions.
It's really surprising now that we're back a couple weeks with Russ back in there and that we had such a hard time scoring, you know, and moving the football. We got to do better. We got to coach better, man. We got to coach them better, and they got to find their ways. Russ has got to find his way. We got to catch the ball when we get our chances. I mean, it's everything. But I just it starts with me.
Okay, Michael, who is more to blame for the Seahawks' struggle? Is it Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson?
Well, it's Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson's not healthy right now, and he's forcing himself to try to play football, to be there for his guys, man. Russell Wilson is on a three-game losing streak for the first time. And he knew. Russell Wilson got a pen put in that hand, came back, played in Green Bay with that hand. It's so difficult to play in that kind of weather, coming off a hand injury, where you have to hold on to that ball. I was talking about this with some other guys. I've never seen him look this bad playing football. But he's looking this bad because he's trying to show a commitment to that football team. I'm worried when I see Pete Carroll say things like that. That sounds like this is really going to be the end of that marriage right there in Seattle.
Okay. I take no joy in saying what I'm about to say. Pete Carroll's won nearly 60% of his games in his career. He's offered three consecutive winning seasons. Better over the last 3 years than he was the year before. I think this is the end of Pete Carroll. Michael Irvin, I'm looking at a guy that doesn't seem to have it anymore. That has lost the pulse of his players. What did we hear in the offseason? We heard Russell Wilson complaining and pretty much not wanting to be there. We heard his agent give a list of teams publicly that he'd prefer to play for if he wasn't in Seattle. I don't think Sierra wants to be there. I think Sierra would rather be in a different market. I don't blame her. She's Sierra. L.A., New York works for me. I get it, even though L.A. no possibility with Matthew Stafford and Justin Herbert there. What I would say to you, however, is that when I look at what Russell Wilson pointed out, and then we discovered how he had not one but two sons on his staff at the time, and how Pete Carroll didn't want to listen and he wanted to do things his own way. I don't know. I don't cover the team. But I would tell you, when you heard those things, it really resonated with the football world. We're not questioning Pete Carroll's football acumen. We're not questioning his ability to coach from an X's and O's standpoint. What I'm challenging is that the pulse of the team, the guy that was known as a player's coach, right. I said it right. years ago, you know this, Molly, when that man elected to give the ball to Russell Wilson instead of give the ball to Marshawn Lynch to get over that line, I don't think it's ever been the same. They ain't been back since. And I don't think it's going to happen with Pete Carroll as the coach. I think that the players, he don't resonate with them the same any longer.
Well, Russell Wilson needs to come to the New York Giants, him and Sierra.
Whoever gets Russ, trust me, and Russ will get this right.
New York would welcome them.
You know who else is special? Paige Buckets. We got a top two matchup. UConn, South Carolina, right after us.
Brag about
showdown.
Her.
Do not miss it. Must see TV.
Brag about her. Stick.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.